Do I look like a liar? Don't answer.
Catapult the propaganda. The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And welcome to our new Indiana bunker.
Yes, this is the temporary bunker before the bunker. We're actually sitting upstairs. We've not yet got...
This is the proto-bunker.
Yes. So we'll be talking about that as we get into the program tonight. We've got a whole lot to talk about as we've not blathered now for several weeks. So we've been saving up. Oh. And we've got all kinds of...
I'm losing blather control.
That's right. A whirlwind tour of things going on around the world today. We're going to take you from American politics to Russian politics to global pestilence. We're going to cover all four horsemen of the apocalypse over the next
hour. We are indeed. And just for now, for those Beethoven lovers out there, happy birthday to you. Actually, we should probably go...
I don't think Beethoven wrote that.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, and actually, if you sing more than that first line of happy birthday, because it is copyrighted, we'd have to pay.
I know. Some nuns own it.
Yes.
So, I know.
Bear that in mind, you fellow podcasters. Happy birthday is copyrighted. If you put it in your podcast, it is not pod safe, believe it or not.
But that has nothing to do with Beethoven, nor does it have anything to do with PID Radio.
No.
Which is why we got off on that bunny trail, so which has nothing to do with Christmas Easter. So, all right. Now we begin.
That's right. Topic number one.
We're sitting in our new digs. We are now in central Indiana, and we're not far from a couple of our listeners. We want to say, hey, you know, we won't name names, but we shout out to the people in central Indiana.
Yeah, they know who they are, and we're looking forward to
and if
taking
they don't, well, you've got bigger problems, and we can't address those now.
No, we look forward to taking them up on that dinner offer soon. So,
I know.
Yes.
I know.
But, you may have heard about the storms rolling through the Midwest. Actually, the Northeast is getting a lot more attention because they're getting the weight of the storm. We didn't get nearly what was expected here. I guess Indianapolis North got, you know, 4-6 inches of snow.
Our old Missouri home
got
lots.
Glazed with ice since almost the day we left, actually. They've had all kinds of trouble there. So, again, a shout to the crew at the Eagle 93.9 who've been struggling with school closing information on a daily basis since we left. So, I have to say, I don't miss that aspect of the job.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who don't really know what we're talking about, we have moved from Missouri to central Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, am from Indiana originally. My family, most of my family still lives here, and we're only about an hour away from them now, so we are so happy. Derek started his new job, and he's loving it.
Yep.
Praise God for that.
Yep, been 2 weeks at the new job, back into the old routine of selling steel, although this is a different type of steel. Before we made the move to Missouri, central Missouri last year, I was selling steel pipe. Now this is structural steel mostly, so it's steel with no holes in the middle mostly. So having to learn new shapes, and it's really hard.
No.
You know, this is an angle. This is an H. This
it's
is
like,
an I.
It's like graduating from Indiana University and having to learn what a football was. It's that ball's not round.
I know. But, hey, the Hoosiers are going to a bowl game this year.
I know. Can you believe that?
How about that?
Can you believe it?
Missouri, sadly, not playing for the national championship.
The only thing I can figure out is that there are only 5 schools that aren't going to bowl games.
That's about right. by the way, a tip of the cap to Northwest Missouri State. I've got a friend who I met through the Eagle, an author and a journalist who's a teacher at Northwest Missouri State University. Played for the Division II National Championship Football Championship for the 3rd year in a row this year. And lost for the 3rd year in a row this year. So,
and I'm glad you mentioned the Eagle, because there may be people listening to PID Radio broadcast who found us through your show at the Eagle. And if you're listening and you used to listen to Derek in the afternoon on the drive, we just want you to know that we didn't leave because we didn't love Columbia.
No. It was a wonderful place to work. and a wonderful place to live. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, we were blessed by the people that we met there.
We loved that place, and really great people there. The Eagle, the whole group that owns the Zimmer Radio Group that owns the Eagle, fantastic people to work for. Loved it. But you know what? My family really needed us here, and God just opened the doors, and it just seemed like, wow! I mean, a whirlwind from the time that we found out the door was open, and we drove through it, and you know, we left our furniture behind. We left a lot of our, I mean, we left our cooking utensils behind.
A lot of books.
God worked it out so that we could afford to get out of our lease, and we want to thank our landlord for that, for being so kind to us, and that the Lord worked it out. And we're in a great place here in Shelbyville is where we live now, and we found a tremendous.
It's not next door to Springfield, for those of you who are wondering.
I wish it were.
That would be cool. But yeah, we found a tremendous flea market near here, which has been just amazing. Oh, you're going to say tremendous house.
I was going to say that the house that we found. I mean, God, again, opened the door so we could find a house very quickly to move into, a house that just is the absolutely the kind that we've been looking for. Mm-hmm. It's a 1920 Craftsman bungalow. So if you're familiar with the arts and craft movement and the craftsman houses, you know what kind of home we're in, and we're so excited about it. And, we're just praising the Lord. It's got a full basement, and believe it or not, a previous owner actually started working on a room down there that looks like it was intended to be a multimedia room.
Yes.
There's an entire wall with about 10 AC
electrical outlets
on it.
Yeah, so that will become the bunker once we do some finish work down there. But tonight we're in the expansive dining area on a
table that we picked up at the flea market.
Yeah, a Duncan Fife copy, apparently, but still, it's very, very charming.
Oh, it's a nice old table. It's
again,
a really beautiful.
A flea market price on it, so we couldn't beat that. Yeah. Again, praise God, because he's really provided the means to sit and sleep and all the other essentials that people
need. Oh, absolutely.
So,
and this home is especially suited, not only because of the room downstairs. It's especially suited to being the bunker because it's wrapped in aluminum siding.
Yes.
And aluminum, of course, is what they use to make tin foil.
Yeah, yeah. You could say tin foil hat, but really
it's
aluminum.
It's like being in a big Faraday cage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we are wrapped in aluminum tonight. So we've got our foil hat on times a million, and so we're ready to go. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Russia, or do you want to start what's going on with the American political
scene? You know, honey,
here?
You go. You just... You set the topic, and I'll just ramble with you.
With the American political scene, and there are a couple of things to start with here. First of all, the American presidential race has just gone topsy-turvy in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last month, Mike Huckabee has come from like fifth place to overtake Rudy Giuliani as the leader, at least in the most recent Rasmussen poll. Now, we're not going to do, standard political analysis. If you've listened to PID radio, we're more
into... We do standard nothing.
Yeah, crypto political analysis.
Exactly.
And... Because most of the pundits that you'll see on the cable news networks will talk about this and, talk about his eloquent performances at the debates and so forth. We tend to think it has more to do with his eloquent performance at a speech he gave in September in front of the Council on Foreign Relations, because it was right after that, at the end of September, that Mike Huckabee's run for the White House began to take off.
Okay, now let me just explain where we're coming from on this. When we look at political candidates, it's from a Christian worldview. Again, if you're new to PID Radio, we examine everything from the basis of Scripture. And first of all, nowhere in Scripture that I can find are we told, vote Christianity into office.
Yep.
So we start there and we take a look at the candidates. So the fact that Mike Huckabee, and I like Huckabee, I really do.
Yep.
I heart Huckabee.
Yeah.
The fact
I
that
hope
he
he's
is,
for real.
Yeah, that's just it, and that's where I'm going with this. I like Mike Huckabee. I'm very excited that he's pulling ahead, but you can't go on the surface. Folks, many Christians were fooled by George W. Bush.
Right.
And I do not think that man is genuine. I sadly voted for him.
Yep.
I was fooled too. And I've really started to re-examine a lot of the sort of the facade of what we're presented in politics. The first thing you have to remember after you decide, okay, I'm going to look at everything in politics through the light of Scripture, then you have to ask yourself, can anyone get to the presidential candidacy point in his or her life without compromising?
Mm-hmm. And I'd say that the answer to that question is no.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel Dan Marvin, who we've been blessed to know and call a friend, has expressed the opinion that no one since John F. Kennedy, no president since John F. Kennedy has truly been in charge of the United States, has truly been his own man.
Well, and I think, sadly, I think that it could be argued that John F. Kennedy was not necessarily his own man. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be, but the fact is he got into office because of his old man.
Yes.
And his old man's contacts.
Right.
And his old man was the one who owed all the favors, and therefore John F. Kennedy wasn't. But anyway, that's
Yeah. So, well, Huckabee is, you know, in fact, he's got a current he's got an article appearing in the current issue of Foreign Affairs, which is the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to get into the black helicopter aspect of the CFR rules everything, but we will say this. The CFR is firmly entrenched, at least in the foreign policy aspect of the United States government. There are also quite a few very influential media and very media types that are members of the CFR, news commentators and analysts and so forth. So if you want to run the White House, if you want to get to the White House, you've got to win over the Council on Foreign Relations.
You do. And I even said this to you because we were talking about this earlier. And I said, let's face it, if you and I were running for public office, if you were running and I were running as your, you know, your wife, because that's how it works now. You know, the wife gets elected too. If you were invited to speak at the CFR, you'd have to say yes. You cannot say no.
Right.
So the fact that Huckabee spoke before them, even though it may be a red flag of a bit, you can't rule him out because of that.
No. But again, he does have an article now that he's written and that has been published in the current edition of Foreign Affairs.
Right.
Most of the candidates running for president this year are members of the CFR, including another favorite of conservatives, Fred Thompson.
Now, you can't just go and sign up for the CFR. You have to be invited in by a member.
Yeah.
So
it
really is a very close-knit bunch.
So we anyway, that's led to some very interesting developments. And again, I think as much as anything else, that has a lot to do with Huckabee's rise. I mean, when you look at the tracking polls, and you can find this, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes at PIDradio.com, RasmussenReports.com, and Rasmussen has been one of the most accurate of the pollsters over the last couple of election cycles. You look at the daily tracking of the major Republican candidates, and it's just been stunning. The last 30 days, Huckabee has just roared out of no place. It's like watching a horse race in which the underdog comes up from the outside and manages to pass everybody in the field. And it really, there are some really shocking things that are setting up here because Huckabee is leading in Iowa, where Mitt Romney, who is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, is banking on an early win. Huckabee is leading Romney, and he spent much, much less because he's got a lot less to spend. He's also leading in the important early state of Florida ahead of Romney and Giuliani. So Mike Huckabee, again, apparently getting the stamp of approval from the CFR right now. Why? Well, perhaps for the same reason that George W. Bush was marketed to evangelical Christians successfully two elections in a row.
And therein lies the big problem.
Yeah.
Either Huckabee knowingly is doing this, as I'm convinced George W. Bush knowingly went in saying certain things. Now, bear in mind, George W. Bush is a bones man. And when Skull and Bones members say, I've been born again, they are literally talking about a ceremony that they go through in that organization.
Right.
And they can honestly say, I've been born again. So when he said to Christians, I'm born again, we all thought he was, you know, it's the first day of classes when you go into study chemistry or any of the sciences, the first thing they do is let's get our language right. Let's all be speaking the same language. So this term means this, this term means this. Born again, when Christians hear that, we all assume everybody means the same thing we do. But Bush didn't.
No.
And so my concern is that Huckabee Make is either coming in lying to us knowingly or he's being duped into running and being used.
Yeah.
Or, here's the third possibility, he is a genuine believer who's allowing himself to be used in a certain way, thinking that when he gets in, he can do good.
Yeah.
If I can, okay, the end justifies the means. I'll get there by whatever means, by whatever compromises I have to make. And once I'm in office, then I can do the good deeds.
Now,
it doesn't work that way.
No. And now, speaking falsely leads us to topic number two, which is related to topic number one.
I know.
And that is Mitt Romney and his speech that he gave recently on his faith as a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormons. talking about holding true to the faith of his fathers. There have been a couple of political analysts who've spoken up accurately and bravely about what he believes. Now, I was asked one question during my time at the Eagle 93.9, where a caller called and said, "Do you believe Mitt Romney worships the same God you do as an evangelical Christian?" And I said, thought about it for a second, thought, okay, well, might as well answer this one fairly, because I'll have to, you know, answer for this answer someday.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't. Mormons do not worship the same God. Why? Because Jesus, to their way of thinking, in their belief system, mm-hmm. is a created being, the spirit brother of Lucifer. Now, Mike Huckabee, asked by in an interview with a reporter from the New York Times, asked that question, supposedly. This is the story that came out. There's a YouTube video now of this exchange with Wolf Blitzer, in which Mike Huckabee explains his answer and says that he was asking that question of the New York Times reporter, who seemed to be pretty well-versed in comparative religions. Now, Governor Huckabee, as an ordained Baptist preacher, I suspect, despite the fact that he does not, as he claimed in a couple of debates, hold a theology degree, which we can
talk about that later.
I suspect he knows enough about what Mormons believe to have answered his own question with the New York Times reporter. Instead, he pretended, or at least claimed, in the exchange with Wolf Blitzer that he didn't really know he was asking, because he didn't know much about Mormon theology, and that he didn't want to hold it against Mr. Romney and Governor Romney, and just was asking for his own curiosity. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have respected Governor Huckabee more had he said, you know, Wolf, this is what Mormons believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're going to make this statement,
yes,
then have something to back it up. Say, this is in their own literature.
Right.
This, use their literature to defend it.
Right. And not apologize for it. And then, you know, if you want to go from there and say, look, now, whether he believes this or not, you know, and whether that affects his credentials mm-hmm. to become president of the United States is up to the voters of the United States.
Right.
You know, I'm not raising this as a campaign issue. But instead, he backed away from it, apologized for mm-hmm. it, and I wish he hadn't done that.
Right.
Like I said, secondly, I think that he already knew the answer to the question. So I think he was being, to be kind to Governor Huckabee, he was being diplomatic at best,
mm-hmm.
Disingenuous at worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, going on from there, the fact is that, and this is something that bothers me about the LDS, when a spokesman for the LDS was asked about what they believe regarding Jesus and Lucifer, they gave an answer that appeared to say that, no, we believe that Jesus is God. But when you actually go to their writings and go to their doctrines, which mm-hmm. you can find online if you do a little digging, most reporters don't appear to want to do that much digging, you find that that is, in fact, what the LDS believes. Mm-hmm. Jesus is a created being, and Lucifer is his spirit brother. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, to Christians, that's heresy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is heresy.
Now, if Governor...
And that's a different Jesus. And Paul said, if
right.
anyone comes to you, even an angel,
mm-hmm.
Moroni, comes and preaches a different Jesus, then run away, because that is not from the Lord God
yeah.
Jehovah.
Yeah, let that person or angel be anathema, eternally
yes.
cursed. So, just bear that in mind, because you will see in the press reports that seem to indicate that the LDS is claiming, no, no, we don't believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers.
And the reason he's saying that is Mitt Romney wants to get the conservative Christian vote.
Right, and the LDS wants him to get the conservative Christian vote.
You bet.
Yeah. Now, another, I think, fair question to ask is, if Mitt Romney professes to believe in the faith of his fathers, you have to ask, you know, okay, how much of that faith do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he gave some answers to Tim Russert on Meet the Press yesterday, which indicated that he disagreed with the LDS's position on African Americans until 1978. It was only in 1978 that they allowed black men to hold the priesthood in the LDS. And that was only so that they could keep their tax-exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God had a revelation, just like God had a revelation, or I mean, there was a revelation in the late uh-huh. 1800s that the LDS quit endorsing polygamy, because if they hadn't, Utah would not have been admitted to the Union.
Well, there are lots of other things to talk about. Let me just say this, though, to sort of help us to wind up on the political discussion.
Right.
The Lord God is going to put into office
mm-hmm.
his man or woman according to his plans for the United States. And his plans always are there, set to help, to guide his people, Remember, all the things that happened to Israel were not because he was necessarily because he was judging the other nations.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it because he was judging Israel. He was saying, Israel, I'm going to send him in there because I need to have you guys wake up and realize that I am your king. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how much we may sit and talk about how to vote or how not to vote or whether to vote, ultimately the Lord is going to put his man or his person in. So we need to relax about it, people.
Right. And bear in mind that regardless of how much you disagree with the administration that's in power, whether it be a Clinton or an Obama or a Huckabee or a Romney or a Giuliani, that we are told in Romans 13 and in 1 Peter 2, I believe, that we are to obey the authorities in power because mm-hmm. they are there at God's will. When Paul and Peter wrote those words, the emperor in Rome was Nero.
Mm-hmm.
And while, again, there are Christians who feel very strongly that this government, you know, the United States, is just as bad. If you do a careful reading of the New Testament, you just don't find an exemption in there for a government that you disagree with.
The only exemption is if we are asked to do something that is contrary to God's mm-hmm. teaching, to Scripture.
Right. Yeah, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Keeping it here in the United States, of course, there were the tragic, horrible shootings in Colorado last week, apparently tied to the same young man, a young man named Murray. And I just want to point out very quickly that according to some information that surfaced, I don't know whether it's been confirmed or not, but it appears that this young man was a devotee of Aleister Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
It
appears, and we say this because after the fact, okay, let me back up just for a second. You can't look at these things. When we talk about we're trying to analyze events in politics and events in the news in the light of Scripture, let's not take everything that the talking heads on television say as gospel truth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start there and start to really examine and question. So a lot of the evidence that's coming out is based on entries that this young man supposedly made
mm-hmm.
online. Well, anybody can fake
that's right.
an online entry. So I would throw that out.
Yeah. So bear that in mind. But Matthew Murray of Denver is believed to be the gunman who shot and killed people at the Youth with a Mission campus in Colorado and then at the New Life Church in Colorado as well. So he was reportedly, according to a former roommate, hearing voices in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've talked with Russ Izdar from Shattered the Darkness about this mm-hmm. in the past. It may well be that he was, in fact, hearing voices in his head.
And it could be. And it could be he also wrote those things online,
yeah.
but perhaps not as the same personality. He may have been a multiple.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So just bear that in mind. Again, we don't have a lot of information on this, and a lot of the information that that's coming out is you know, not stuff we want to, you know, hang our beliefs on or our opinions on as solid, but just
where in Colorado was this?
Colorado Springs, which of course is a big evangelical Christian.
Yeah,
center.
I was going to say that's a huge, huge. Yeah,
sure.
And there are some who say that that also has an occult.
Yeah, and the New Life Church that was Ted Haggard's church.
Yes. Yes.
Who, of course, was the gentleman, the pastor who was the, mm-hmm. the head of, the National Association of Evangelicals, or... anyway, he very
was recently
prominent,
scandalized.
And, right, prominent and influential, and now disgraced.
Yeah.
So, just something to keep in the back of your head that when they report this, somebody who says that when the media reports, you know, somebody hearing voices in his head, that doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean the person was mentally disturbed, at least not in the way mm-hmm. the media believes.
Well, that followed closely on the heels of a shooting in Omaha at a mall there, and that shooting happened on the very day that George W. Bush was in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
and Omaha also has a lot of interesting connections with what was it, the boy scandal?
The Franklin cover-up.
Yeah, the Franklin cover-up that was in there off at Air Force Base, which, of course, is where
Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino was linked.
Aquino was there, but also that happened to be where, Warren Buffett
was there. Yeah, on 9/11, just happened to be holding a party for clients.
Yeah, there are a lot of odd things about Omaha, so I just find it really interesting that these events took place where they did.
Yeah. If you've not, we won't go into the Franklin cover-up because that's something
that
we could do
weeks
on that.
Event.
But I'll put a link to a couple of sites that will kind of go into the background of the Franklin cover-up.
Right.
Events took place about 20 years ago, but it will make your skin crawl. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Omaha connection on that particular event was...
And again, it happened on the day that George Bush was in town, and this information came from Sorcha Falls site website, mm-hmm. the information I'm about to say, and that's why I'm not always sure. Sorcha Falls website, there is a lot of information. I read it every day. There's a lot of information there that is intriguing, but it isn't always backed up with other sources that mm-hmm. I consider unimpeachable. So I don't know that this was is for sure, but supposedly George Bush was supposed to go to that very mall that very day and have a photo op shopping for Christmas.
Yeah, and instead he left town an hour before the shootings took place.
Exactly.
And again, take that information as unconfirmed intelligence because we've not seen that anywhere else but Sorcha Falls' website. And while she sometimes comes up with some really interesting stuff to consider, it's not always corroborated.
I looked online at the former governor's website. The former governor of Nebraska is now running for state senator. I mean, for a senator.
U.S. senator.
U.S. senator. I looked on his website, and his website only had a splash page up. A donate now button, and I just found that so interesting that he wouldn't have something up there beyond that. Now, he may have them more there now, but I went there looking to see if it had mentioned, because he was sponsoring Bush's visit. Mm-hmm. Bush was there to help him in this race, and I thought if Bush was scheduled to go to the mall that it might be there, but again, all that was at that site was the splash page.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm looking at the site right now, which is MikeJohanns2008.com, and he's got a full-blown website.
No, that day, just a splash. That was all.
Very interesting.
I should have done a screen capture. Rats.
Yeah. Well, continuing with the crypto political analysis here, there was an event that took place down in Mexico.
It's a crypto night, isn't it?
Yeah. Took place back in September.
Uh-huh.
Kryptonite. Got it. It took a second.
It was a super joke. Sorry.
Well, back down in Mexico in September, a Gulfstream 2 based out of Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida, crashed in the Yucatan. This aircraft was reported by media in Mexico to have been carrying about 3.3 tons of cocaine, which originated in Medellin, Colombia. Now, the reason this is significant is that this is the second plane based out of St. Petersburg to crash or be captured in Mexico within the last 18 months.
The other one was, about a year ago? Oh,
yeah, it's a DC-9. Right, about 18 months ago, last May or April, I believe. Both of these planes owned by the same American company, Skyways, which has ties to prominent Republican supporters.
Isn't it Titan?
Also to a disgraced defense contractor, Titan Corporation. And the other plane, the DC-9 that was captured there last spring of 2006, was actually surrounded on the tarmac by Mexican military when it landed.
Well, am I right in remembering
that? And yet the pilots managed to somehow sneak through this cordon of Mexican soldiers without being arrested.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
They were American pilots.
They were American pilots, yeah.
Now, am I right in remembering that Titan had something to do with the rendition flights?
Yes. And it's also reported that this Gulfstream 2, which is a small commuter jet used for corporate executives, was also tied to some rendition flights. Flights to Guantanamo.
Yeah. Well, in case you aren't aware of what the rendition flights did, they took supposed prisoners, people who had been arrested quietly.
Yeah.
Secretly. And took them over to European locations, and they were questioned.
Yeah.
In questionable ways.
Plausible deniability. We didn't torture them. Well, no, we turned them over to the Bulgarians or the Syrians or the Egyptians and let them do the work. The last registered owners of the DC-9, Skyway Aircraft, Royal Sons Incorporated, again, guys who seem to be connected. And most of this research is being done now by Daniel Hopsicker of Mad Cow Morning News. Again, seems to indicate connections to the CIA, mm-hmm. defense contractors, and prominent Republican donors.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the St. Petersburg daily newspaper, St. Petersburg News, television news, have not paid any attention to the fact that two aircraft that were based at St. Petersburg Clearwater International Airport have turned up in Mexico, containing, between the two of them, over 8.5 tons of cocaine.
Well, you know what? The flight schools in Florida weren't really noticed either.
Yeah. So anyway, without going into and spending the whole show on this, we'll just, again, point you to some articles. You'll find, again, the show notes at PIDradio.com and encourage you to do a little reading on that. The last guy who really made a big stink, you know, and perhaps this is why nobody in the media is really making note of this. The last guy who spoke up about the CIA being involved in the drug trade here in the U.S. was Gary Webb of the San Jose Mercury News, mm-hmm. who documented in his series on the crack cocaine mm-hmm. Boom in America that it was the CIA bringing it into Southern California, and he wound up dead.
Well, now, didn't Danny Casolaro also get into a little bit of that when he was the octopus?
Danny Casolaro, who may have, yeah, he was getting involved in that. And apparently one of the connections he dug up was the drug trade through Syria from Lebanon's Bekaa Valley.
That's right.
Yeah. And in fact, the according
drug
to his
trade
research,
information that also was revealed by, oh gosh, the woman who was imprisoned. We spoke with her, the guy who was renting a house from her.
Oh, yeah, gosh, and you know, and now my name, Susan Lindauer.
Yes, Susan Lindauer.
Right. The Pan Am jet that was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland,
mm-hmm.
was destroyed not by Libyans, although that Libya took the fall, but by Syria, because there were two DEA agents based out of Cyprus who were on that flight heading back to the United States in order to blow the lid off of this drug running operation, which was going through Damascus to an airport, Frankfurt, in Germany,
mm-hmm.
Where German police had been instructed by American intelligence, the CIA,
mm-hmm.
to ignore certain packages,
right.
certain, you know, that were parcels that were coming through. And the DEA agents apparently found out about this, were coming back to blow the lid off it, and lo and behold, their plane exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland. Now, that's not exactly something the U.S. government could tip to. And lest you think I am just inventing this whole cloth, I will... We'll put many links in the show notes to PID Radio tonight, but we tie this back to the two planes in Mexico over the last 18 months, again associated with the CIA, the DC-9 last spring, the Gulfstream business jet this September, between them carrying nearly 10 tons of cocaine, and apparently our intelligence agency still involved in the drug trade.
It's going to be so much easier than when they can just load this cocaine onto a truck and just run it right up the NAFTA supercar.
You know what? That's
and they're going to ring it up I-69 right here into Indiana and right up to the border from there.
That's very possible. That could well be.
Oh, if Mitch Daniels gets his way, it will be.
Yeah. I-69 is another part of the NAFTA superhighway, or one of these NAFTA superhighways.
Hey, look, we've only been in Indiana for a few weeks, and we're jumping right into Indiana politics.
That's right. So that's what's going on here in the United States. Around the world, Vladimir Putin is making a push to remain in control of Russia.
Okay, first of all, as we're talking about this, I want you to picture Vladimir Putin standing by a stream, fishing with his shirt off. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because that is an image that is popular in Russia.
Yeah. He's got quite a following there. He's
the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Of Russia.
Uh-huh.
He is.
Yeah. There are... I'm trying to say this in a polite way. Let's just say that that...
I'm thinking there are posters of Putin and some
probably so. Yeah, teen girls there are looking at him and going,
and teen guys.
And teen guys who want to grow up to become Vladimir Putin.
Well, yeah, or just be with him. That's not why he's doing that, though. He is considered very macho, very strong, and very much the savior of Russia. There is an entire following of young people, teenagers and now even down into the young years, the babies, so to speak, that these teenagers call themselves Nashi.
Nashi
sounds a lot like Nazi, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, well, think of them as the Hitler youth of Russia, the Putin youth. And they are fanatics about Vladimir Putin.
He has got a cult of personality there.
He does. He's the outgoing president. But you wouldn't know it because the celebration after Putin's party won in December, just a week or two ago, was huge, and a lot of it was led by this Nashi youth group. And it was Putin that they were shouting everywhere. He wants to, if you can hear a noise, by the way, in the background, it's Burford, our furnace.
Yeah, we've nicknamed
it. Named him
Sounds
Burford.
Like a dog growling.
It does. But anyway, Putin is huge, and I firmly believe that he has no intention of stepping down politically.
No.
I, in fact, think that he intends to become czar, so to speak. He is very much involved in a union between Belarus and Russia, which actually has its roots back to 1996. It's been around for a while on paper, but no one's really taken it seriously. I think he's going to take it seriously, and I think he is going to become the president of the union of Russia, the United Russia. And there will be separate VPs for Russia and Belarus.
That would be really interesting. There's been a lot of speculation about how Vladimir Putin was going to get around the constitutional limit on how long he could serve as president of Russia. The newly elected, or at least the candidate for president being put up by his party, Putin's party, is a guy with very little political experience, essentially a guy who is going to be a puppet, and Putin will be the man behind the throne.
And he's currently the director of Gazprom.
Yeah, Gazprom, which is the largest or one of the five or six largest energy companies on the planet.
It's huge, and they ship natural gas all over Europe, including Western Europe, which is why Western Europe is now trying to get its natural gas from, it's going through Turkey, I think.
Alternate sources, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
From the Caspian and bypassing Russia. The Russians, under Vladimir Putin, have done just an amazing job of bringing that country back, much like its two-headed emblem, like the phoenix that is represented on their official state emblem, state seal. The rise in energy
prices.
It's just
like the eagle of Nagash. Lagash.
Right, which is the symbol of the high-ranking Scottish Rite Freemasons, 32nd, 33rd degree.
Right, that's what they call it, and it goes back. You find that same symbol, that two-headed eagle, going all the way back to Sumeria.
Yeah, ancient Sumer, where it was a symbol of the deified, of the god Ningirsu. Ningirsu was the deified form of Nimrod. Who, of course, was the rebel who wanted to build the Tower of Babel and essentially is the one, whether they know it or not, venerated by Freemasons.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. So Russia, under Vladimir Putin, has done an amazing job of turning its economy around. The rise in energy prices has helped a lot. Russia has essentially paid off its foreign debt, is solvent, it's got lots of foreign currency in reserve, and holds a virtual dagger to the throat of certain countries in Western Europe because it is the closest and most abundant source of natural gas and oil.
And Russia is currently building the nuclear plants for Iran.
Yeah.
Russia is very angry about the U.S. missile defense ring that's going into the stands that George Bush is putting in there. When George W. Bush originally went into office, he and Vladimir Putin were big buddies. There were all these photo ops showing the two of them just almost hand in hand, practically, at the ranch. And he called him Pooty Put Put.
Yeah.
And I think that is all gone now.
Yeah. Vladimir Putin basically has renationalized many of the companies that were that were privatized during Boris Yeltsin's reign, during the period of time that Yeltsin was in power. As I understand it, I'm certainly not an expert on what took place there, but as I understand it, a lot of what had been nationalized industries, energy and state, heavy industry, was basically divvied up amongst the guys who were the fastest and the sharpest. Essentially, the guy who wound up in charge of was it Yukos Oil?
Yeah.
Which was just recently absorbed into Gazprom, more or less, and he's now in jail, was a big friend of Lord Rothschild.
Exactly. And the guy was put there because he was just sort of a patsy.
Right.
A puppet.
He was in his mid to late 30s at the time that he basically was handed and wound up in control of Yukos Oil, which was huge. At its peak, it was as big as ExxonMobil. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the jobs I bid on when I was at Federal Steel was a huge offshore oil project between Yukos Oil and a division of Yukos and ExxonMobil. Yes, off the Sakhalin Islands. And we didn't get the order, and I was told later that it really was a good thing we didn't, because it was really not being done on the up and up. But that's how a lot of business gets done over there. Yukos is now again kind of folded into the Kremlin. It is again nationalized, and Russia under Putin has basically taken control of a lot of the currency generating, revenue generating assets.
Okay,
that were divvied up.
So why should you care? Why should we care about this?
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
For one thing, Iran has, and again, there are very close ties between Iran and Russia. Iran has just said, we're not selling any oil and dollars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Anything but dollars. ABD. Anything but dollars. That is the new currency now.
Yeah.
Russia has made it very clear that if the U.S. doesn't back off on that defense shield, that they're going to dump dollars as well. They are not going to sell any energy commodities in dollars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And as dollars get dumped, your house, your checking account, everything you have is worth less and less and less, because the dollar is worth less and less and less. And it will take you more of those dollars in your pocket to buy the sugar at the grocery store and to put gas in your car. And it will have nothing to do with Iraq. It will have everything to do with the economy that Russia will now be the king of, along with China.
It's an interesting dynamic that's playing out on the global markets, because as much as the dollar's decline has a lot to do with that, it also has to do with the fact that the Federal Reserve is pumping, is increasing the supply of money at the rate of about 15% a year.
Let's just print more.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we need. That causes inflation.
Exactly. Because there are, it's basic.
Too many dollars in circulation.
Yeah, that's basic economics. I mean, even I remember that from my economics degree. Mm-hmm. More means they're worth less.
Right.
Basic supply and demand. More dollars means each one is worth less. Now, on the world market, those dollars are worth less because, A, there's a lot of them floating around, and, B, it's not backed by anything except for oil. And if you've got the oil producer, because, at the London and New York exchanges, you can only buy oil denominated in dollars. So governments around the world, we've talked about this before, governments around the world hold a certain percentage of dollars in their reserves so that they can actually buy oil. If you get major producers like Russia saying, well, we think we'd rather have rubles or euros, then the dollar becomes worth even less.
Well, yeah.
Now
there's also...
The interesting thing, part of this dynamic, though, not to go too far afield here, is that I've been told by my new employers that they're actually seeing some jobs quoted overseas that used to go to China that are now coming back home to the United States, because the dollar being worth less means that our goods on the world's market actually cost less relative to other currencies, goods denominated in other currencies, including
the good
yuan.
Thing about this, people coming here to shop, well, let's see, I have 5 pounds. Oh, hey, that gets me $15 or whatever it turns out to be.
The downside of that, of course, is that we don't actually make as much over here as we used to. So what are we going to sell overseas? I mean, everything that all the manufactured goods we used to make here 50 years ago, not all, but a high percentage of what we used to make here 50 years ago are now being made in China or Mexico or somewhere else. So that's the downside. But the Chinese, who hold an awful lot of dollars in their foreign currency reserves, are growing unhappy with the situation mm-hmm. because their reserves are worth less and less and less. So I don't know how to analyze all of that just yet. Bottom line, though, is I know that just the fact that the Fed is pumping more and more dollars into our economy and into the world economy means that we have to make more in order to stay even.
I think regarding China, I think once the Olympic Games are over in China, mm-hmm. that it's Katie bar the door, that they will dump dollars big time.
Yeah.
They are doing everything they can to remain as viable in the world, in the eyes of the world, as nice and as, you know, come visit us. Because they want the traffic. They want people to come to their Olympics. They have gone to so much expense. They've leveled entire cities. And in the process, it's really funny, in the process of digging up to put the foundations for all of these different venues, they have uncovered all sorts of archaeological finds. So you've over the last 5 to 10 years, there have been tons of stories coming out of China about finding this and that. And, mm-hmm. and so it's all because of that. But I really do think that, and I think it's 2010 when China has the Olympics. I think when their Olympics are over, that we're going to see, they're just going to say, that's it. We're sick of you people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've got other people to buy our goods. We don't have to have Walmart in the United States. Walmart's everywhere, probably. Give
well,
them time.
It will be interesting to see how that all plays out. The other thing that we need to take note of here as far as the economy goes, an interesting analysis I read the other day by a writer for the Wall Street Journal, I believe. I'll go back, find the article. I'll link to it in PIDradio.com so that we can go back and double-check my work here. But he essentially, his point in this whole article was this. When President Bush last weekend gave his speech and said that the economic troubles we're having are strictly due to the troubles in the subprime mortgage market, and once we get that squared, everything will be fine. This writer said, don't believe it, because the same guys who created the mess in the subprime mortgage market, the bankers, the analysts, the investors, are the same guys who approved all kinds of loans for prime mortgages, for business loans, for, you know, bundling up securities and selling them off mm-hmm. as investment packages to mm-hmm. other. And he said it would be foolish and naive to believe that they did a better job in those sectors of the investment banking industry that they did with the subprime mortgage industry.
Oh, yeah. And I would say take a look at Enron if you want to see what a large corporation folding does to the economy. Just look at everything that happened after Enron.
Well, of course, when Enron folded, it was just shortly before 9/11, so there was sort of a dual impact there. It was,
well, we could get into a conspiracy there, but we don't have time.
Yes.
But, okay, again, why should you care about all this? You know, we've spent a lot of our time talking about geopolitical issues.
Right.
And I know, frankly, that can get a little boring, but and I used to think it was boring. Well, actually, no, I didn't. I've always really been interested.
Kind of a geek that way, and I
am,
love you for
but,
it.
Why should you care about this? Because we are told as Christians to look for signs. We are told to anticipate the end of days.
Right.
The end of days is here, folks. I'm not saying that we are in the tribulation period. That is not at all what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that it is around the corner. I think it is very, very close. And the economy is one of the big movers and shakers. If you look at biblical prophecy, the Lord talks about the writer who has the scales and the fact that a lot of people no longer can buy and sell. And in fact, in the book of Revelation, we're even told, in the tribulation period, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. That day is coming. Now, whether or not you and I sitting here at this table or you listening to us on PID Radio are going to be here when that happens, we don't know. I have my beliefs. I happen to be pre-trib, but I know that not everybody who listens to us is pre-trib. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I respect you. I am not going. I'm not a big believer in saying, okay, well, let's argue over this. Let's have a virtual arm wrestling over whether it's pre or post
pre
or mid or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, we know it's going to happen. But what we do know for sure, and we don't know. I mean, we cannot say I know for a fact without any wavering that it's going to happen on this date. That's just not going to happen. We don't know that. We're not given that information. The information we are given, though, is to look for certain signs. And the reason I talk, backing up to Vladimir Putin, the reason I personally pay a lot of attention to what that man does is because there are many Bible scholars who believe that Russia is the kingdom from the north.
Mm-hmm.
The one that God puts those hooks into his jaws and pulls Gog and Magog right down into Israel to invade. And the nations of the world go, what the heck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But Gog and Magog invasion includes a lot of Muslim countries as well. And it's the kind of buddying up, the kind of little circle that Vlad Putin has been putting together. It's that same group of countries that we see in the Ezekiel prophecy. And that's why we need to take a look at what's going on politically in the world.
Yeah, and there's not a thing that comes out of the Middle East lately that doesn't have, it seems, some prophetic significance. So I know that there are a lot of scholars who will debate over the identity of Gog, of Magog. But Russia is certainly a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the traditional enemies of the Israelis, the Hebrews, came from the north because that was the easiest route of transit. Even when the enemies were coming from the east, like Babylon,
mm-hmm.
they would very often, you know, come down from the north through mm-hmm. Lebanon and through the valley of Megiddo, which mm-hmm. is where we get Megiddo and Armageddon. So, yeah, there is an awful lot to watch for in the partnerships that Vladimir Putin has continued to build with the Iranians. And of course, the Iranians and the Syrians have been working closely together over the last few years. It will be interesting to see what 2008 brings. Things seem to be quiet right now, but there are just little things that pop here and there that just make your eyebrows go, eh? Like the information that came out just last week, papers that were released.
The think tank?
Well, a couple of things. Well, I'll get to the think tank in just a second, but I just touch on the papers that were released about the negotiations that took place back during the Clinton years in 92 with Ehud Barak and mm-hmm. Yasser Arafat. And Ehud Barak, it turns out, the then prime minister of Israel, was in fact willing to give up control of Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
to the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Yasser
Arafat. There were reports
Arafat,
that he was at the time.
Yeah, and
he denied them.
Yeah, but the papers have come out now and said, no, he was willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And Yasser Arafat, for whatever reason, said, no way. And he apparently wanted more. So,
I know.
Or whatever.
Just as an aside, don't forget, lest you ever, you know, Ariel Sharon is still in a coma.
Yes, he's still alive, believe it or not. Francisco Franco, however. But getting back now to the think tank, as we look ahead to 2008, Sharon found a very interesting story.
There's an American think tank that has put together the Russian program division of that think tank. The think tank name is just escaping me right now.
It is the CSIS.
Center for International Studies.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Russian program within that, the gentleman who Kuchins, I think is his name, who heads that up, has written a report imagining the future of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
This is something they periodically do. They imagine, you know, as futurists will write books saying, we imagine in 10 years the world will look like this and in 20 years like this. Well, he's imagining the immediate future
mm-hmm.
for Vlad Putin because he's saying that one of his imagined scenarios is that on a specific day, January 7th of 2008, at midnight, coming out of the Cathedral of Our Savior
mm-hmm.
in Moscow, that Putin will be assassinated.
Now, this is really astounding. It's the Center for Strategic and International Studies, which is a very influential nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. Andrew Kuchins is the former senior director for Russian affairs at the National Security Council.
And he goes to a lot of meetings with Putin. I mean, he knows him personally.
Well, again, yeah, being a member of the National Security Council is a prestigious position.
It's a very prestigious position.
Andrew
for him
Kuchins,
to come out and write this novel.
Yeah. It's
fiction.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, makes you wonder. I mean, how could he be so specific?
I think it's a warning. I think it's a very backdoor saying to Putin, we will take you out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't back off.
Yeah, it's one thing. I mean, you know, there are think tanks and government agencies that will sit down and try to imagine scenarios for the future. I mean, the military does this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to war game, you have to, you know, speculate and imagine and come up with scenarios that might
mm-hmm.
happen and then try to figure out what you would do so that you're prepared. It's part of being part of the government. But to put together a paper in which he actually names a place, a date, and a time...
Mm-hmm.
You know, January 7th, 2008, by the way, is the Russian Orthodox Christmas. So it's a significant date.
Mm-hmm.
And to put the assassination right there at that right time, yeah, it may well be a veiled back channel warning to Vladimir Putin to just stand down.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is something to watch for. Kuchin goes on from there to speculate that the head of Russian railways would become president, and that there'd be all sorts of chaos and martial law and
mm-hmm.
Just a bizarre series of events, that the mayor of Moscow would be sentenced to death for embezzling millions of dollars. I mean, just some very specific scenarios that you would not expect to come out of a think tank closely associated with the government.
Let me just say this. I'm going to imagine a scenario. If, by chance, Vladimir Putin were taken out, if he were assassinated on any date, but especially on that date, the Nashi group would go ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
It would not send them into an economic freefall. I think it would actually bolster Russia, and it would make a martyr out of Putin. He would be canonized before you know it, because he is very close with the head of the Russian church.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. He brought all of these wonderful icons back to the church. He has been very tightly connected to
the official church.
The official church, yeah. Exactly.
Very interesting.
And that's why if he were to be taken down, coming out of that church...
Hmm.
It's huge.
Interesting, and we need to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. This has gone by very, very quickly. But interesting that one of our favorite episodes of the television series Millennium, going back to 1999, was one in which a Russian political leader named Yaponchik...
That's right.
...was shot in the head and then miraculously survived. Now, if you're a Christian, you know where we're going with that. That is...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bear in mind...
Yeah,
Putin is a candidate.
He is a candidate. Yeah. So we won't say any more than that, because, again, it's...
say no more. However, if you don't have copies of Millennium and you've never watched them, trust me, you need to watch every one of those episodes, mm-hmm. especially season two. But that amazing show.
Yeah, and we need to go watch that episode tonight now.
We'll go watch it right now.
As soon as we're done here. Well, again, that's our whirlwind tour through the world of crypto politics. Next week, I believe we're going to do another program. We're going to have, we'll see what
I think we'll be
schedule.
Here if by chance our schedule doesn't permit it, because we do plan on going to see my family for Christmas.
We have
and
to.
Of course, we're only an hour away now.
That's right. And besides, Faye's got the washer and dryer.
We're making so many changes here. But you know what? We praise the Lord for bringing us here to Indiana, for
Amen.
Allowing us to continue to do PID Radio. We thank you for every one of you. We thank him for every one of you, rather, because we so appreciate your emails and your prayers for us. And if you do want to write us an email, you can send it to Sharon@peeringintodarkness.com or
Derek@peeringintodarkness.com. And, of course, the show notes are always available at PIDradio.com. And there's a forum. palmpage.com/PTD. That link is right there at PIDradio.com as well.
Also, you'll see the link at PIDradio.com. The show notes are available there, and mm-hmm. at the bottom of each show note entry, you'll see discuss this at the PTD forum.
That's right. So, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
A new day coming now. analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.